Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We thank God for today for his abundant grace. In time of hardship, confusion, anxiety, chaos, God has remained faithful to us. And even the opportunity for us to meet and fellowship together, we give all the glory to his name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, shall we pray? Father, we come seeking your will from your holy word. Father, use me as a vessel, Father, for your voice. Touch my head, my mind, and my lips. Let no gap between my will, your will, and then your words. We pray in Jesus' name that, Father, you will speak to your church. Equip us, Father, for greater works. By the end of the day, Father, we will testify that, God, you have been faithful to us. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. I prepare, Father, hearts that are ready, Father, for this word. It's our prayer, Father, this morning that you speak into us. Equip, O God, and change destinies, Father, through your word, that we will walk out, Father, to be people who have been empowered by your word. We thank you, God. Yeah. We give you all the glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. So today is a very special day. Today, Climax, the Internal Missions Week. I believe and I trust that most of us were able to join the program during the week. The week-long program ends today. But what will not end today is our mission to fulfill the vision Christ laid down before his ascension to heaven. I have many tests. The sermon is entitled Proclaiming the Good News to Possess the Nations. Proclaiming the Good News to Possess the Nations. The text for today is from Matthew chapter 28, 16 to 20. And we have another one from Matthew 24, 14. And then the last one is Luke chapter 8, verse 1. Anyone can read for us. Matthew 28, 16 to 20.
Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 to 20. I'm reading from the New International Version. It's titled The Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Amen.
Amen. Can someone also, amen. Can someone also read Matthew chapter 24, verse 14?
Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come," taken from the New King James Version. Amen.
Amen. We thank God for these messages. So Jesus called a meeting. This meeting is recorded in the text that we just read in Matthew chapter 28, and also known as the Great Commission. It was a very, very important meeting. This wasn't just an ordinary meeting. It wasn't one of those meetings that, you know, that we just gather around and then start talking about things. This was a meeting that Jesus thought through. It was the first meeting after his resurrection. And it was also to be the last meeting with the disciples before his ascension to heaven. So this tells you nothing can be more important than this. Jesus has been on earth. He has worked with the disciples several years. And then he was killed. And 3 days he resurrected. And this was the first time the disciples are going to have a chance to meet with Jesus. They probably have some questions. And this is also going to be the last time they will have any chance to listen or to hear any instructions that Jesus had for the church. So this wasn't just an ordinary meeting. And because of its importance, this meeting was scheduled. Because when you read the Bible, you say they met at the designated place. It wasn't a meeting that they just, you know, kind of just sat down and then decided to talk about issues. Jesus, because of the importance, Jesus didn't want anybody to miss this meeting. Because of its importance, Jesus didn't want anybody to be late to this meeting. And because of this importance, Jesus didn't want anybody to come unprepared. So that's why this meeting was designated. This is the place we are going to meet. The Bible didn't tell us the time they were supposed to meet, but I bet there was a time. So all of them met. Just imagine if a physician gives somebody like a few months, or let's say a few hours to live, and the person calls you that, oh, I'm told that in a few hours' time, I'll be leaving this earth. Can you come and have a word? I need to have a word with you. I bet that anything that you are doing, you will stop and run and make sure you get there on time to listen to whatever the person has for you. Or if somebody tells you, oh, this guy was dead yesterday, but he just resurrected, and he's talking about stuff. If you are told that this person, you know, was dead and he's up and he's talking about stuff, the person is alert and ready to talk to you, won't you run and go and listen to whatever the person has for you? This is how important the meeting was. So they met. The Bible says that two groups of people met at the meeting. The verse 15 tells about all the disciples were there. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says that 500 brethren also attended this meeting. So this meeting wasn't for the leadership of the church. This meeting wasn't for the elite, some special group. This meeting was for the apostles and also for all those who have believed in Jesus. So if me and you were there that time, we would have been invited to that meeting. So whatever Jesus thought was so important that he had to schedule the meeting, we would have been there to listen to what Jesus had for us. His last instructions, we would have been there to listen to whatever he wanted to tell us. So whatever message that Jesus has prepared, whatever agenda Jesus had for this meeting, we have to be sure now that Jesus had the same message for us this morning. So they met there. And then the Bible also said that some people went there doubtful. They had questions. This is what the Bible says. They had questions. These are followers of Christ. These are apostles of Christ. Some of them went there with questions. They were doubtful of certain things. Even though they were doubtful, that didn't keep them at home. They still went there because Jesus wanted to meet them. So they went there. The Bible says that they sang praises. They did worship. They did everything that they were supposed to do. And after the worship was done, after they sang praises, Jesus stepped into the podium. And this is what Jesus said, verse 18. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority, all powers, whether be it in heaven or be it on earth, has been given to me, Jesus. At the point, I thought, why Jesus didn't need to say all these things? Because that has already been established. The audience are apostles. The audience are followers of Christ. They've seen many miracles that Jesus has done. And even if they haven't seen it, this man was dead 3 days ago. This man is up now and talking. So Jesus didn't even need to say all these things. But Jesus was up onto something. Some people were doubtful, even though they've seen the miracle. Some people had questions, even though they've realized that he was dead and he's up. Jesus wanted to resolve this before he brings the agenda, you know, onto place. So whatever Jesus is doing now, he's resolving any issues because he wants his agenda to be as clear as possible so that anybody who was at the meeting, who leaves the meeting, should have a clear understanding of what Jesus said. That you will go back not doubting or questioning anything that you heard today. This is exactly what Jesus was doing. Most of us, when we go to wedding, you will hear the officiating minister. Before they pronounce the person's husband and wife, you will hear them, you know, declaring their credentials, why they have the power to declare them husband and wife. They will tell you the power vested, you know, in me by the state or by the church or by the city or whatever. They want everybody at the ceremony to walk out, not questioning the legality of the marriage. This is exactly what Jesus was doing. All powers in heaven, all powers on earth, principalities, kingdoms, kings, whatever you can name, they all come under the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus is not only in charge of heaven, he is in charge on earth too. Jesus is not only in charge of heaven, he is in charge of history too. Jesus is not only in charge of eternity, he is in charge of time too. So nothing sits under the power, under the dominion of Christ. Jesus is trying to declare, whatever I'm about to tell you, I have the power, I have the authority to declare it. And whatever I'm telling you, I have all the authority to ask you, whatever you want to do, you can do it, because I am commissioning you to do. So this is the point Jesus wanted, you know, them to be, so that they will come and understand whatever he has to tell them. So with all this said, Jesus made the command, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. That was the only agenda for the day. Someone may ask that, why would Jesus call all these people to this designated place just to say this, go and make disciples? Jesus could have walked around them as usual, their meetings, and just tell them, go and make disciples. This was so important. Jesus had to meet them at a place. And Jesus has to make them be aware of the power and authority he has to declare whatever he was about to declare. Go and make disciples. Jesus could have talked about many things. Jesus was dead for 3 days. He could have talked how he defeated the devil in the grave. He could have talked how he met God. He could have talked what he saw during the 3 days. Jesus didn't have any interest in those things. Jesus was about to lead them. Jesus could have been talking about how the church should be organized, how the buildings should, the size of the buildings, how it should be painted, how you should dress to church, how you should break bread. That wasn't important to Jesus. Jesus doesn't care about those things, even though they are important. What he cared most was just what he said. He did not even give an opportunity for other matters at the meeting. It was just one instruction, one agenda. Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Jesus understood if he has to mention like 10 things, people will leave the meeting confused about which one should be our priorities or which one should we take serious. Jesus didn't want that kind of confusion. Jesus wanted them to know that this is the main reason I came to the planet, to reconcile mankind back to God. And I'm leaving you, and this is the only instructions I have for you. Go and make disciples. This was to be the mission of the church. This was supposed to be the function. This was to be the focus of the church. So if the church is dressing, if the church has other priorities, then we are losing the agenda that God Jesus set for us before he left the planet. He called them and gathered them, and he declared to them the power and authority he has. And then he said this, go and make disciples. If we were there at that time, as long as we were followers of Christ, we will be there at the meeting. So God, Jesus is speaking to us this morning that his word is go and make disciples. He didn't want to mix it with any other thing. This is interesting because this has been the mission of the church. When I was preparing for this message, I decided to go online and check some, because all organizations, they have mission statements. They have missions, things that, you know, they aspire, the things that they want to, you know, be able to achieve. They will put that into a sentence and they will put them on your website. Some of them will write them on their letterhead. This is our mission statement. So I went online and I decided, okay, let me look into some of these organizations and their mission statements. So the first one I checked was Domino's Pizza. Their mission statement is to be the best pizza delivery company in the world. To be the best pizza delivery company in the world. I also checked Starbucks. Starbucks says, to inspire and nurture the human spirit, one person, one cup, and one neighborhood at a time. And I also checked McDonald's. It says to be our customer's favorite place and way to eat and drink. I was looking at these statements, so I started with Domino's. Have they achieved their aim? I was looking to match their statement with their daily activities. When you go to Domino's Pizza, we go to their website, everything you need to be able to make, customize your own pizza, you'll be able to do it. And then when you are ready to order it, you can just click, click, and you get the pizza ordered. If you're too lazy to go there, they will even deliver it to you. Their mission is to take orders, bake pizzas, and push the pizzas out. This is all they care about. When the staff walk into the restaurant, they don't care about whatever is going on. All they care is they're looking, they're waiting for orders. And when the order hits their system, they are baking. When the pizza is ready, they are pushing it out to the customer. They don't care about anything. They can talk, they can laugh, whatever, but this is their mission. And this is exactly what they are doing. When you're going towards Domino's Pizza, you will see it. They have banners, they have, you know, adverts pointing to where their restaurant is. They are making sure that you don't miss them. You will see them. And when you get closer to them, you will smell pizza. And when you walk into it, you will see pizza. This is their mission. And this is exactly what they are doing. Our mission is to go out there and make disciples. My question is, how far are we? Do we even wake up thinking how many people we can witness today? I was questioning myself while I was preparing for this message. I'm over 40 years. I'm an elder of a church. And I was asking myself, how many souls have I won for Christ? How many people have I won? Like, in future, when God asked me, do I have any soul that I could point to? I don't have any. I was so embarrassed. Don't get me wrong, it's not like I don't do crusades. We do hospital, prison visits. We do witnessing. We go to the mall, we preach. But I needed one person I can point to that I witnessed to this person and I converted this person for Christ. I don't have anyone to point to. But my mission as a Christian is to go out there and preach the gospel and then bring people who are heading towards hell back into our amazing grace. My question to you this morning, do we wake up thinking, you know, who are we going to witness to? When you are walking towards Domino's Pizza, you will smell pizza, you will see pizza. In our offices, around our computer, around our desk. If somebody walks to us, if they see anything, that shows that we have been saved and we are ready to preach the gospel to them. Do they see any statement mounted on our computer just to provoke them, for them to ask, what does this mean? Can we have anything there on our desk to say that I believe in the power of the Holy Ghost? Or Jesus still saved? Jesus still alive? Just to inspire, just to urge people to ask us, what do you mean by this statement? Do people see or smell salvation or Christ in you when they're coming towards you? This is Christ's message to us this morning. The mission, the one agenda that he set for us to do is to reach out to the world. We should bring the traffic which is heading towards hell. We should carve it back to heaven. It's so easy for us to do it because we don't have to convict them. We just have to say to them. We just have to give them the word. The Holy Spirit that is around will convict them. This is the message of God for us. That we have to revive ourselves and refocus. That the church whose mission is to go out there and preach. You know, can you imagine you go to Domino's Pizza. You walk in there and you say, I want to order pizza. And then the staff will tell you, we don't have pizza. And then you say, oh, let me tell you, I want this kind of pizza. And they say, oh, every kind of pizza you can think about, we don't have them. You will probably question them, are you guys kidding me? Domino's Pizza doesn't have pizza to sell? You will not understand it. And can you imagine if they tell you that, oh, by the way, we have Ghana kente and we have Nigerian jollof? You will probably pass out. And probably you will walk out and just check and make sure you are in the right restaurant. And when you are, you know, okay, you are subtle that this is Domino's, you'll probably be taking pictures, posting them on, you know, on Instagram or on Facebook that, you know, kente in Domino's Pizza or something like that, because it doesn't match their mission statement. It doesn't. Domino's Pizza, they produce pizzas. They don't do Ghana kente, they don't do wache, they don't do Nigerian jollof. So when people are coming to us, our mission statement is to go out there and preach the gospel to them. People come to us and they are not seeing what we are supposed to do. They come to us and then we are complaining as they are complaining. We are doing the same stuff that they are doing. Are we matching? There's a mismatch here. Are we matching with our statement, with our mission statement, with what Jesus told us? We are not. This is exactly what we are doing. Some people come to church as a social gathering, like Sunday, oh, let me go and catch up, you know, see Elder this, and this, and this, and that. We have forgotten about the main issue, the main agenda, the main focus, the main mission that Christ set for us before he departed. If we are coming to church, it's to re-equip ourselves and go out there and preach the gospel. If we are coming to church, that is not a place to socialize. That would be Domino's Pizza selling watch. It doesn't match our mission statement. So God's message to us this morning is, we should refocus, we should revive ourselves and know the mission and know what he set for us before he left the world. If we have drifted so far away from that mission, it's never too late. God is counting on us. That this is about time. All that we see around us, the chaos, the anxiety, the confusion, the hardship, it all points to one thing, that the end is near. And we don't want it to be too late. We still have time. Most of us have some sphere of influences. Some of us are medical doctors. Some of us are supervisors. Some of us are, you know, in positions that we can have some influences on other people. I'm not saying go scream and yell in the hospital and get fired for your job. But you can mention to them. If your colleagues are able to come and tell you about a good deal online, about a restaurant they just found, the food that tastes so good, and there's a coupon going on with a promo, you can buy one and get one free. If they can tell you this, you can also tell them about a better deal. Believe in Jesus, and you shall be saved. We can share this with them. We can share this with them. If they can open their mouth and share and tell us about good stuff going on in their life, we can also share with them about amazing grace that we have found in Jesus Christ. This is a moment that we have to look back and say that, God, we have been lazy. We haven't done the things that you told us to do before your ascension to heaven. But thank God for the grace of time. The way now we can recover and be able to speak the gospel to as many that we can reach. This is the word of God this morning. We have to look back. We have to look back and then revive ourselves for the grace that are ahead of us. One thing that God has been consistent, very consistent, from Genesis to the Revelation, is his passion to reconcile with mankind. When you look at Genesis, it talks about God friending Adam and Eve. God will walk down and talk to them as buddies. And when you go all the way to Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20, God is still telling me, I'm right at your door knocking. If you will open me, I will come in. And in between Genesis and Revelation, you will see how God has tried many times, several methods, using the covenant act, using tabernacle, using the priest, and using various means to reconcile, to get closer to mankind, until God decided to have a permanent solution through Christ Jesus our Lord. Through all this process, God says that he did not send his son to condemn the world, but to reconcile the world back to God. For God so loved the world. God has created many things. God has created the angels. God has created galaxies, oceans. But it's only once that you will hear God. It's that God so loved the world. Not God so loved angels. Not God so loved galaxies. God so loved mankind. So God is still in the business of reaching out to people. He is not tired. He's not fed up. He is still aggressive, trying to reach as many as he can reach. So this is what God did when he was with Moses. This is what God did when he was with David, when he was with Saul, when he was... This is what exactly what God did. But when Jesus came, as we read in Luke, Jesus went from house to house, from village to village, preaching the gospel so that he will reconcile us back to God. And Jesus said that, wait till you get the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll be my witness. This is what God did. This is what Jesus did. And this is the era of the Holy Spirit. And you know where the Holy Spirit is? The Holy Spirit is sitting in us. God the Father's job was to reconcile with men. God the Son Jesus was to reconcile men back to God. And the work of the Holy Spirit is to continue with what was started in the Old Testament. We have captured the Holy Spirit in our hearts. We are sitting on the Holy Spirit. And the job that the Holy Spirit is supposed to do, we are mismatching. We have diverted attention from reaching out to the unbelief. We are not praying for better jobs. We are praying for promotions. We are praying for houses. We are praying in tongues too. That is not the original duty of the Holy Spirit. The original duty of the Holy Spirit is for us to go out there and preach the gospel, and all other things will be added to us. But now we have switched it. We think when we pray in tongues, for houses, for marriages, and for other things, then we are pacifying the Holy Spirit. No. God's message today is no. We have to go out there and preach the gospel. The work of the Holy Spirit starts with evangelism. And when we start with evangelism, the promotions that you need, the jobs that you need, the houses that you need, whatever you need, the Bible says, my God will add those things to us. We just have to look back. It's not too late. God still wants to reach out there and bring more people back to himself. If we have the Holy Spirit and we are not moving, there is no way God can do whatever he was doing during the time of Moses. God would descend and talk to Moses. Moses, Moses, you're on the holy ground and stuff like that. Those era is gone. Those time is over. If God descends and God is going to do the same thing here, God will be a liar. This is the era of the Holy Spirit. God is not coming down to preach to people to change. That is not going to happen. What could happen is the Holy Spirit reviving us for us to preach the gospel to those who are unbelief. Jesus is not coming down because we know that the next time he's coming down, he's not coming to preach, to bring more people, to bring reconciliation between man and God. The next time we see Jesus, it's going to be the judgment time. That is what my Bible says. And what my Bible also says is that the Holy Spirit is to come and empower us so that we will be able to continue the job that God and Jesus did. All powers in heaven and earth have been given unto me. All authority. Jesus is declaring, he's trying to tell you, you have the power, the force is with you. You shouldn't be scared, you shouldn't be worried, because he says at the end of the reading that I will be with you until even the end of time. He has all this assurance for us. What we need now is to step up and do what he has instructed through his agenda. May God bless us. I believe we will be revived with this message, and we will not take this message and make it another Sunday sermon, and then we roll over and continue with our lives. But we will take this word, me first, and we'll start to reach out and get more people for this kingdom. God is still aggressive. God is still dying for people to save themselves. God is still looking for people who will move away from hell and come back to his amazing, glorious kingdom. This is a message for us this morning. I pray that we'll be revived and then challenge ourselves and go out there and send Jesus and the good news. May God bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. That was a powerful message. Elder, God bless you. What do you say, Elder?
God bless you.
God bless you.